You're very welcome along to another edition of Prem Chat. I'm Dave O'Grady. It's the Premier League fans chat show where we look at a different club every week and speak to diehard fans, journalists, punters and pundits. If you want to contact the show, you can do so. It's dave@talkingsport.org, or you can check us out on Twitter. It's @talkingsport.org, and on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsport.org. It's that simple. As always, my co-pilot today is Nathan Carr, and Southampton is on the menu. Nathan, a great club to choose, it has to be said. Great for football and for the Premier League this year, particularly how successful they have been. It's interesting, really, how far they've come, Nathan. Delighted to be covering them this week.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome to the show, everyone. Southampton, as you said, David, absolutely flying high in the league, enjoying a great season so far, and really looking forward to getting the views of both Andrew and Ali on the show, and I couldn't think of a better way to be spending Halloween.
Absolutely. Happy Halloween to everybody. We're joined by Andy Walker of the Saints podcast. Andy, the podcast you do, it's a weekly podcast, am I right to say, and is it just mainly Southampton fans and journalists that come on, share opinions about the club?
Yeah, it's fortnightly, but we speak to fans, we speak to, well, we quite like to speak to opposing fans, and often we speak to journalists from clubs we're about to play. So we had an interesting conversation last year with a guy from BBC Radio Manchester who was a massive Man City fan and was dismissive that we could possibly get anything out of the Man City game at St Mary's, and we won 3-1. So it's quite nice to hear some smug commentators and stuff from time to time.
I can imagine the banter is unbelievable with that.
Yeah, it's everyone keeps saying to me, you've got to get him on when we play City this season. So I'll be sending him an email in a few weeks' time to get him back on and remind him of that particular prediction.
Fantastic. We're also delighted to be joined by Ali Everson from Pick Our Team and @SaintsCorner on Twitter. Ali, you yourself, you cover a lot of Saints football news and opinions and that. It's been a great season for you guys this year.
Yeah, it has exceeded expectations slightly, I'd say. But yeah, just a great start to the season, and long may it continue.
Long may it continue indeed. Andrew, just to start with yourself and looking back at the fantastic win over Fulham, I think you guys must be really, really delighted. Games against teams like Fulham is really, I suppose, the aim of Saints fans this year, maybe. If you can win those games, you'll certainly keep yourselves high up in the table. But so far, it's been a terrific season, like Ali was saying. A routine win 2-0 over Fulham, for that to be just a given and expected at this stage is really exciting.
Yeah, I think the thing that most Saints fans would say, not be upset about, but were a bit almost couldn't quite understand, was last year we performed ever so well against some of the bigger teams. But when it came to playing the, if you like, the smaller teams, you know, we lost at home to QPR. We didn't do so well against West Brom, although they had a very good season. But I think what we've done very well this season, it's not been the most difficult of starts, it has to be said, apart from Liverpool and United. But what we've done is actually beat the teams kind of around us and below us. And it's given us that great platform. And it means that when we do go up and go to Anfield and get a win, which was remarkable, and win up to Old Trafford and outplayed them, well, certainly played very well and got a deserved point. You know, I think actually it's a really great platform to build from. As for the Fulham game, I think they were pretty awful. But we made them play that badly, perhaps.
And looking at the stats, Ali, 20 shots for Southampton to Fulham's one. And Fulham couldn't actually muster a shot on goal. So complete dominance, would you say?
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. Like Andrew said, it was difficult to tell how much Saints played well and how much Fulham played badly. Because a lot of Saints' success is based on Pochettino's pressing and stopping the other team play. So you never are fully sure how much it's us doing well and how much is the other team doing badly. But it was the most one-sided game involving Saints I can remember for a long time, for sure. Certainly since we were back in the Championship.
Definitely. And with Fulham obviously coming off the back of an astounding 4-1 win at Selhurst Park against Crystal Palace, especially with that amazing Kassemi solo goal. Did you feel perhaps beforehand that Fulham could, you know, really give you a game and you know, were you cautious of their attacking threats?
I was slightly cautious, yeah. But again, like Andrew mentioned, the problem is we've often done well against the bigger teams and then struggled in the games that we should win. And so it was seeing us win games like that against Fulham is reassuring from that point of view, because that's what our bread and butter is. That's the games we need to be winning. And so there was a bit of nerves, but yeah.
incredible stuff, it has to be said, Ali, for a 2-0 win over Fulham to be an expected result for Southampton just goes to show how far the team have come. Andrew, it's a big week. Stoke away, it's going to be tough. You know, they always say it's never an easy place to go. We know that Stoke are playing a different brand of football under Mark Hughes than they did under Tony Pulis. But are you guys still feeling very hopeful now that your great run can continue and, most important, another good performance by the Saints?
Yeah, I think we've got to be at this stage in the season, and we've played ever so well so far. I was chatting to a journalist from the Stoke Sentinel on the podcast last week, and I sort of said to him, actually, I asked, you know, how do you sort of rate Stoke this year in a new way they play? And in a way, I think it's a bit of an unknown quantity. They started the season really well, and then they've had a bit of a bad run of form recently. So it's they can't buy a goal at the moment. We've got a very tight defence, so you know, logic would suggest we should hopefully get something from that game. But you know, I'm not arrogant enough to say we're going to go up there and beat them out of hand. Yeah, it's not going to be easy, but I'm hopeful, let's put it that way.
One of the things you mentioned a little bit about your defence there, Andrew, because I think that's a key point. And you know, we've seen it at Old Trafford and the terrific result that Southampton got there. If the game is tight, which it tends to be against Stoke, let's not pull any punches, they do tend to kind of maybe rustle up a few things and not much is given away. But in that situation and the great attacking threats that you guys have now, is that the kind of game you're expecting? Maybe a tight match for maybe 70, 80 minutes and then hopefully Southampton will make the break?
I don't know. I think we've got to be hopeful of actually going up there and playing our football. And you know, what we've done all season is press high. We've created chances. We probably haven't scored enough goals. So, you know, in that sense, you might be right. It might be that, you know, perhaps it goes down to the, you know, it's a draw going into the sort of last 10, 15 minutes. So I don't know. I do think, though, that we, as much as I don't want to kind of be arrogant about it, I think we go there and we think, you know, we can beat this team, because actually I think pretty much any team in the land we're playing at the moment, we're feeling like that.
And Ali, with Stoke coming up, they'll obviously be tired from their midweek exploits in the cup. Do you think that would be a significant advantage for Southampton?
I don't know how much how many changes Stoke will make, and you know, you'd have thought professional footballers, they've got a reasonable amount of rest from Tuesday. You should have thought they should be able to deal with it, but you know, they're certainly not going to get an easy ride against Southampton the way we press. So it could well, yeah, we tend to score a lot of late goals as well, which maybe is the retiring teams out. So it could well come back to haunt them, yeah.
It's been interesting this week, lads, I have to say. I was watching the draw in the cup, and Southampton or Sunderland will face Chelsea at home in the fifth round of the Capital One Cup. The cups this year for Southampton, is it something that you guys feel you can perhaps stake a real claim, make a drive, or is Premier League finish as high as possible in the table really the main aim?
I think naturally all fans would quite like to see a good cup run, and certainly when you look at, you know, Swansea won the League Cup last season, Wigan won the FA Cup, certainly there's no reason why Southampton, I think, were a better team than both of those were last season. Don't see any reason why we shouldn't be trying to win the cups. But at the same time, certainly the comments Pochettino's made, the reward of getting into Europe doesn't seem like something that they want. So I'm not necessarily sure that they see the cups as quite a priority.
It's an interesting one, the point that Ali makes there, because I think I also sort of think, you know, as a fan, you know, that we're always, you know, I think we're always want a cup success, and actually that's what the football, you know, that's what being a fan is about. You know, that I went to the FA Cup final in 2003, and it remains one of the best games I've ever been to. Actually, a question I wanted to throw to Ali though, I wondered, what do you think about getting into Europe through the cup? Because obviously Pochettino has almost dismissed the Europa League. Do you think in a way that he'd rather not win it so that we don't go into the Europa League?
Well, that's what I was wondering, because he doesn't seem to hold the Europa League in really low regard. And certainly his comments, you know, he doesn't want to be in it because it just means you haven't got in the Champions League. But I mean, I personally would love the opportunity for Saints to get into Europe. I know they talk about the Champions League ambitions and that, but you know, having seen us in League One 4 years ago, if we could get into Europe this season, I think that would be a brilliant result. And I certainly would relish Europa League away nights to Shiri for whatever Eastern European.
I think a lot of fans from different clubs would agree with you there, particularly, you know, if the few Wigan fans that we have seen enjoying a little bit of Europa League action. Andrew, what about the match, I suppose, against Sunderland in the Cup coming up in November? It's going to be a tough game, but Chelsea wait in the wings to see who's going to come out of that. But do you guys think you can take on Sunderland and win?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you think about that game, and actually it's a really difficult one as to what lineup Pochettino will put out. Because if you believe kind of all the things that have been said, Gus Poyet isn't a fan of Saints particularly, stemming back from the League One days with the rival we had with Brighton. So, you know, he's surely going to want to win that. Obviously, he's going to want to win it anyway. But I think, yeah, it depends what sort of what team he puts out. Because in the last round, he made, I think, 11 changes. Even on the bench, I think he only had Lallana and Jay Rodriguez. So I think if we do that and Sunderland put out even a half-strength team, I think it's going to be a test. Saying that, we've got such strength and depth in our squad in terms of the cups, I think we actually, I don't know, I think we can get something. And actually, you look at this now and you think Chelsea at home, but you know, Chelsea are a very good team, but you think, actually, that's not a game that, you know, we certainly could get something out of that. And then you're suddenly in the semi-finals. So I'm getting way ahead of myself, of course. But, you know, you just think you can see the path to Wembley, you know.
And keeping with yourself, Andrew, how realistic a target do you think European football is, taking into account, you know, the current manager and the current set of players?
I think it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think at the start of the season, I predicted we'd come eighth. I think if we maybe strengthened a little bit in the transfer window, then I don't think sixth is out of the question. Whether sixth is good enough for Europe, I don't know. I do think that there is a possibility of getting it through the cups, potentially. Probably the League Cup, if we're going to do it anyway. But no, I don't think it's at all impossible.
And with the current squad as well, with the players at your disposal, with the likes of Luke Shaw, who's been talked about a lot, and young James Ward-Prowse, and obviously the some acquisitions, if you were to get into Europe, do you feel that you'd have the quality in the squad to stake a claim you know, in Europe?
I think it depends which part of Europe you're talking about. If it's the Europa League, then potentially yes. Although, again, you know, I think we need, you know, we've got to progress over maybe January a little bit, but certainly next summer we've got to move on and sign a few more players as well. If we were to get into the Champions League and we had this squad, I would have to admit I would be a bit worried. Not perhaps because they're not good enough, but just perhaps because it would be that many more games and it would stretch the squad. I've said that there is some depth there, but Champions League depth is different to League Cup depth, I think.
Do you think you're getting a little bit carried away we're talking Champions League? I remember Niall Quinn, when he was chairman of Sunderland a couple of years ago, he came out saying that the target for Sunderland was the Champions League, and everybody was saying, oh, it's great to have a chairman with such great ambitions for the club, but at the same time, we all know what happened there. Is there a little bit of a danger, Andrew, as you said, in the Premier League, that any team that's mid-table, we'll say, or even just above the halfway or just below the halfway part, and they go on a kind of run of games, all of a sudden they find themselves in Champions League contention? Is there a little bit of a danger there that you can get a little bit swept up in your league position at this early stage?
Yes, there is absolutely that possibility. And actually, I think one of the things that most Saints fans are is quite grounded. So, you know, it's funny enough, I asked on the podcast or on Twitter the other day ahead of the podcast, I said, we've had this great start to the season. Where did you predict we'd come and where do you think we'll come now? And so many Saints fans were, a few people were saying, you know, oh, I predicted we'd come 12th and now I think we might come 8th or 9th. And people, yeah, their expectations have perhaps risen a wee bit. But I think, you know, I said I predicted at the start of the season, I think 8th or 9th. Now I'm saying, you know, maybe 6th isn't out of the question. But, I you know, I'm a realist. We've had an excellent start to the season. Long may it continue. But would I put a bet on us winning the Champions League? Well, maybe a couple of quid, but getting in the Champions League, but maybe a pound or two, but no more than that.
It would be fantastic to see, and I know people like Matt Letizia would be over the moon if that was the case. Ali, to come to yourself, and let's talk about the manager, Pochettino. It's really remarkable how things have changed and how public opinion has completely turned around towards him. You know, when he came in with what happened with Atkins, I know a lot of Saints fans weren't too happy about it. The Espanyol manager coming in without a word of English or that, but my God, he's done a great job, Ali, in terms of the style of play, that what he's brought to the team. And I think he's turning into be a little bit of an unsung hero in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think he's done an excellent job since he arrived. I'd slightly disagree with saying the opinion's changed that much, because I think there was a lot of negative comments in the press, but I think Saints fans were quite supportive of him from the start. To be fair, there was obviously people annoyed that Adkins had been sacked, but there wasn't a situation like Benitez at Chelsea where there were fans getting on his back immediately. I think he got good support, and you said the style of play. He set us up in a way where we can approach every single game on our own terms. And no matter who the opposition is, we're set up in a way where we're able to cope with them, and it actually suits when we're playing the bigger teams. Whereas I think under Adkins, sometimes last season, it's maybe a bit harsh on him, but we were slightly naive at times in our tactics. And certainly the way Pochettino showed up the defence compared them in, I think it's 26 goals we conceded this time last season, and we exceeded 3 this time. So I think that tells all we need to know that Adkins did a great job for us, but Pochettino has taken us to another level.
And Ali, were you sceptical at all? Obviously, when Adkins went, and I think if I remember correctly, it was when you drew away at Chelsea. Is that right? Were you sceptical at all about as Dave said, a relatively unknown quantity in Pochettino coming in without speaking, the lingo? Did you feel the worst at all with Adkins gone?
I mean, I was annoyed like all Saints fans. I'd say I was one of the more reasoned ones who sort of took a step back and said, all right, we got to support this guy. And apart from anything else, Cortese's the man who appointed Adkins. So, if he's made such a good appointment to start with, sort of trust him on this one. But, I mean, of course I was nervous because didn't know too much about Pochettino. I knew he had a good reputation. But, of course, any time the manager who's done a good job gets sacked and brings in someone who's relatively unknown in this country, you're going to be nervous, aren't you?
I think as when that happened, I was at that Chelsea game, and it was one of my games of the season actually last year, because we were 2-0 down. It was a really cold night in under the floodlights, and we fought our way back, and it really showed. It almost epitomised the way we turned it under Adkins, because we were starting to hit a bit of form. And I got to say, I was pretty devastated actually when Adkins went. But Ali's completely right in that the Saints fans, they never got on Pochettino's back. It was always viewed that it was the chairman, for right or wrong, had made the decision, and there was a little bit of talk about having a white hanky protest, kind of mimicking what happens in Spain when fans aren't happy, and it never really materialised. And actually, I think Saints fans have been behind Pochettino the whole time, really.
It's interesting. I was reading this week about Pochettino and how he comes from a very, very small village in Argentina. It's really remarkable. Of course, he comes from the school of Marcelo Bielsa, which is interesting because you can see the style of play, particularly from Southampton, Andrew, this season has shown that. The only difference is, I think a lot of people are saying, it's like Marcelo Bielsa with good defending. I think it's probably fair to say.
Yeah, just on the point about that village, it's called Fray Bentos, if you didn't already know.
Okay.
That. So a little top fact for you there. Pochettino's from that particular town. It's quite a different style of play. We played this short passing with Adkins, but it's this pressing game that is quite unique, I think, actually, in England, really. I think there are teams that do it a little bit. I guess Swansea, you might say, they do it a bit. But actually, it's like you say, it's an evolution of different tactics. We saw Bayern, Borussia Dortmund went to the Emirates and played that kind of game and snuck a 1-0 win as a result. So it's quite an exciting game plan. And actually, you look at it and you think, wow, you can't see us conceding goals when we're playing this at the moment. I think the big concern that there's always a danger that if a team can pass it out quickly, get it past the pressing forwards that are pressing high up the pitch, and then maybe put a long ball into the channels, a bit like QPR did last year, a long ball over the top with Lert Remy and lots of pace behind. There is that danger. But at the moment, it's working ever so well, because we've only conceded 3 goals.
And Ali, coming to you, in the summer, Southampton were significantly busy in the transfer market. in signing Wanyama, Osvaldo and Lovren. What have you made of their performances so far? How do you think they're fitted in? And particularly Wanyama, who arrived from Celtic for a big fee. Have you been impressed or disappointed?
It's a bit mixed bag with Wanyama, but certainly his last few points have been very impressive. He's very good without the ball, and to that extent, he's perfectly suited to Pochettino's game because, of course, winning back the ball and making tackles and interceptions is so crucial. But there have been times when he's been a bit sloppy in possession, and the other problem for him is he's replaced Jack Cork in the team, who was brilliant last season. So he's got a very high standard to live up to, and so he's under a lot of scrutiny. Any mistake he makes is immediately going to be jumped on. But he's improved over the last couple of weeks. He's been impressive. Dejan Lovren is, most people would say, he's been best player this season. I don't think it's entirely fair to give all the credit for Saints' defensive turnaround on him, but he's certainly had a big effect in tightening up the defence. And Osvaldo, I'd say it's too soon to judge. He came in later than the other two. He struggled with injury last couple of games. He's looked good in patches, but I think we need to give him a few more games before we can really judge how he's doing.
Andrew, would you agree with that? Particularly interested in your take on Osvaldo. The eccentric character he comes across as. And do you think he's sort of 15, 20 goal a season man? Or, what's your opinion on him?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at his goal scoring record, it's about 15 goals a season. So, he's done that in Serie A, and I think he did that. He scored even more in Spain as well. I think the jury's a little bit out, as Ali said. We haven't seen enough of him yet. I think in some ways, you kind of worry a little bit that maybe Pochettino is playing Lambert and Osvaldo because he feels he can't really drop either of them, maybe. He obviously did against United in terms of Lambert. And we've played one up front for the best part of a season and a half now, and it's worked very well. So you do wonder whether that might be a case there. As for how good he is, yeah, I think the jury's out, but we've got to give him a chance. He's new to the country. He's new to the league. So I don't know. I'm hopeful he could do very well. A quick point on Wanyama. I completely agree with Ali there. I don't know. I mean, in terms of his distribution, it's been at times, it's been a bit frustrating because you think he's a good player. But sometimes he just overcooks passes and loses possession. In terms of his defensive ability, he's been excellent. But yeah, you've always got the likes of Jack Cork snapping at his heels as well, and Ward-Prowse as well.
I think that's a fair point, Andrew, particularly about Wanyama. It might show the difference of when you're used to having a little bit of extra time in the SPL and then having to go to the Premier League where you literally have minimal time on the ball. There's no doubt about that. Just a final point on Pochettino. We all know what happens to managers that do very good at clubs that wouldn't necessarily be regarded as the big four. Is there a danger that if you guys have the best season that he'll be snapped up?
Yep, there's always that danger, and it's the same with any player as well. Luke Shaw's doing incredible things. I could go through the team because I won't, because I'll waste your time. But there's players all over the pitch. There's the manager, and of course there's a chance. I do kind of hope, as a slightly foolhardy way as a football fan, that they're all bought into this project and actually they'll see the bigger picture. But yeah, I mean, of course there's that danger. I wouldn't think he'll be leaving this season, but I said the same about Adkins, so who knows.
Yeah, well, hopefully he will stay and it will be the next level that you guys completely get to. I think you're certainly heading in the right direction. Ali, just a point on some really good news stories about players in the squad, and one of my favourite is of course Ricky Lambert, and his international paths have been opened, and it must be so proud for all Saints fans to see a player like that, so highly regarded, not just from Southampton but now from England fans across the board, and to see him scoring goals and playing so well and getting the recognition that he deserves. It just goes to show a lot of hard work and years of hard work really coming reaping rewards.
It is great to see, especially as he's been here since we were bottom of League One with minus 10 points. So the fact that he's gone on, I don't want to use the word journey because it's quite cliche, it sounds like an episode of X Factor, but
they're short of just putting a bit of sad music behind it and they'd have the perfect picture.
Yeah, but he's come up with the club all that way. He's improved. I mean, he's a better footballer than a lot of people give him credit for. He's no Andy Carroll target man striker. He's got two good feet. He's got intelligent distribution and his movement's excellent. So I think he fully deserves his England call-up. The only problem is that it didn't come soon enough. I mean, he was top scorer in the Premier League English scorer for most of last season. So why didn't it get called up earlier? That's the only issue I've got with it, really.
Yeah, Andrew, it's been terrific how he's finally, and maybe, as Ali said, it's been coming a long time. But it's a bit of a rare one where we have seen a player come up through the leagues and put in the graft at the lower level and then finally get the just rewards. It probably sends out a message to a lot of young English players that maybe if they do stick with a team, they can get there. I remember from an Irish point of view, I remember Wes Houlihan could have gone to the Premier League with Blackpool, but instead he actually dropped a division to Norwich City because he felt that he'd seen the bigger picture. And two seasons later, they're in the Premier League, and now he's on his third season in the Premier League. Is that something what Lambert has done going to... We're going to see a bit more of that now?
Possibly. I think what you might see now is you might see clubs that in the Premier League and maybe in the Championship scouring the leagues below it a little bit more closely. Especially when you can sort of consider, if they're trying to avoid, they're going to have these, the regulations in terms of foreign players. I think it's probably an untapped resource to some degree. But for every Ricky Lambert, there's a Jermaine Beckford with respect to him. When Saints were in League One with Leeds, I went up to Elland Road, I think around Christmas time when we were in the same league, and everyone was raving about Jermaine Beckford. He scored that winner against United in the cup, and it didn't really work out for him in when he went to Goodison Park. So yeah, I think yes, definitely. I think the club should search around the lower leagues for these sort of players, but of course I think they're probably there's a gem out there, but there's also going to be a lot of dross as well.
There is indeed a lot of dross, and with respect to Jermaine Beckford, I see exactly the point that you're making there. Ali, any other players just on this Southampton team that is grabbing your attention that you feel is going to have a huge career, and perhaps if they stay, and hopefully they will stay with the Saints, that they will just move things on and on?
I think there's probably three I'd like to mention. Andrew can come in on them as well. I mean, that's Lallana, Schneidlin and Klein. I mean, Lallana, he's come through the academy, so the fans have got a special connection with him already. I personally thought he was disappointing last season. He didn't live up to what we know he can perform, but he's been brilliant so far this season. He's been really good. He's been probably our best player going forward by some distance, really. Schneidlin last season, players per season. For me, the best central midfielder in the league. And I know I'm biased, but he really is incredible. I think he got the most tackles, interceptions and ground covered of any player in Europe's top five leagues last season. He's got a brilliant range of passing as well, which doesn't go noticed so much now because he's worked so much on his defensive side of the game. And Nathaniel Klein as well, just finally, I think that he goes unheralded a lot because he plays on the other side to Luke Shaw, who is obviously the big rising thing. But I think Klein's a better player than Shaw. Obviously, Shaw's younger, but Klein's still young. We've got two good fullbacks, and Klein really is another stand-up player for me.
And talking of English players, Andrew, Luke Shaw, what's your opinion on him? And I mean, I've read endless articles, but about his potential and his ability, and he seems to be taking that left back spot, by himself.
Yeah, he's done excellently well. Just quickly on what Ali was saying, Lallana and Schneidlin too. I couldn't agree more. Brilliant players. Luke Shaw, yeah, I think he's wow. He's brilliant. He's 18 years old. He turned 18 in the summer, and he played best part of almost a full season last year in the Premier League for Saints. So it's almost you kind of wonder how good can he be, because actually I think he's a very good, very very good defender, and then even going forward, he's even a stronger player. So I wonder, will he end up being a left winger? Don't know, maybe, because he's got the pace. He loves running at players. I think the future is bright, and it's it's almost he can be as good as he wants to be, really.
And would you say that World Cup Brazil 2014 a little bit of a long shot, or what you were thinking in terms of the England frame?
Yeah, you're probably right. I think that he's quite unlucky in a way, because he's got Leighton Baines, who I think is now England's number one choice at left back. And then he's got Ashley Cole, who's been, for whatever you think of the guy, he's had an excellent career and has been at times the best left back in the world. Now, you know, there's a big argument there that if Roy Hodgson thinks that Baines is his first choice left back, and he might not, but if he does think that, then actually would he be better taking Luke Shaw with a view to then give him a little bit of experience ahead of the European qualifying campaign that's about to come up, and of course the next World Cup in Russia after that? I think there's a fair case for that. Equally, if someone was to put up the other argument that Ashley Cole has played in 3 World Cups and he's won a Champions League, you know, it's hard to argue against that as well.
It's absolutely fantastic to hear that. And, you know, it would be great if Roy Hodgson did look to other teams rather than the big four for players. And we've seen that with Lambert. So maybe that can be the start, the foundations of the building blocks, and it will benefit yourselves and other, I suppose, young players around the league. Just before we rock and roll, lads, Ali, I'll come to you with this one. The new media coverage now, we've seen a lot towards Southampton more than ever before. I know they've been covering a little bit of Southampton in Argentina because of Pochettino. And of course, Sky Sports News, look no further. Matt Le Tissier, he's in dreamland. It's absolutely great to see.
Yeah, it's nice for us to get some positive press, as always. It's always nice to hear that. And yeah, I guess commercially as well, sponsors and that. We want to get as much money from that. So the more we can be mentioned in the press and the more picture of the shirt and things come up, it's better for the club.
It is indeed. And just before we go, lads, your predictions for the season ahead. Andrew, we were in our little Champions League bubble earlier on the programme, but perhaps it is a realistic target, considering there's a lot of good teams in the top half of the Premier League who will all take points off each other. Some of the big teams, like a certain Manchester club, not doing too good. Is there an opening there? What do you think? How would Saints fans like to finish, knowing what you've done so far this season and being in a great place? I think it's fifth at the moment in the Premier League. Being in that nice, comfortable position, where would you be happy finishing towards the end of the season?
I would be happy anywhere in the top 10. If I was being really negative, anywhere that's in the Premier League still, that'd be nice. But you know, realistically, I think I said eighth. I'll probably stick with that. If I want to be hugely optimistic, you look at the Premier League at the moment, and actually maybe the league isn't as strong as it's been in terms of the quality. That's debatable, but certainly teams are losing games that are in that top 5, top 6. You know, you've mentioned United there. They're eighth, I think, at the moment, and no other team except perhaps Arsenal has actually been, you know, that good this year. So if you were being a massive optimist, you could say that, well, perhaps those teams are going to take points off each other, like you say. Maybe there's an opening there for Saints. But as I say, if I was to be putting a bet on it, I think I'd probably go maybe seventh at best.
Okay, Ali, would you be like Andrew there, maybe seventh at best, or would you be completely optimistic and say, you guys, they've done so much so far, why not go for the Champions League?
I'd certainly say go for the Champions League. I wouldn't say I expect us to qualify. At the start of the season, I predicted seventh, so I one place up to St Andrew, and I reckon I'd probably stick by that, maybe sixth. I think, I mean, we're going really well at the moment. The only problem is if you finish sixth, you've got to say, well, we've got to finish then above one of Man United, Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal and Tottenham. You get into the crazy stage now where we're looking at those teams and you're thinking, which one of them are we going to finish above? Which is slightly scary. But I think they say they're going to aim for the Champions League. Of course, that's, you know, a nice thing to do. Not necessarily expect it to happen. But I have two things to say. One is that we've got a really tough run of games in end of November and December. We've got Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, Everton and Tottenham all close together. Mm. And once we've gone through those run of fixtures, I think we'll have a better idea of where we are. Because, I mean, previously it used to be that we'd do well against those teams under Pochettino and we'd lose against the lesser teams. So I'm hopeful we can get some points off them. And then the other thing, of course, is what happens in January, because we've spent some money both summers. And if it looks like we could potentially qualify for the Champions League or finish in the top 6 or whatever, it'll be interesting to see if Pochettino's given money to spend.
Excellent. Well, January will be a crucial time for Southampton, and hopefully he will be given money to spend, and I've no doubt that Pochettino will probably spend it correctly. Andy, thanks a million for joining us. Ali, thanks a million for joining us. Just before we go, Andy, for any Southampton fans or Premier League fans to have a listen to the Saints podcast, where can they go?
On Twitter, you can follow us, it's @SaintsPodcast, or you can go onto iTunes, search Saints Podcast, and it will come up.
Fantastic. And Ali, I know you're involved with Pick Our Team and at Saints Corner. How could people follow you at Pick Our Team? Is it just pickourteam.com or something?
Yeah, it's just pickourteam.com, and then you have to choose which team you support. I'm one of these Southampton editors. You can also follow me on Twitter at Saints Corner and catch me on Premier Punditry talking about Saints.
Fantastic, lads. Thanks a million, and also thanks to my co-pilot Nathan Carr, as always. You've been terrific. I want to wish the Saints the very best season ahead. No doubt it's going to be a long, tough one, but if things keep going the way they are, it's going to be a good one. Thanks a million, lads. We'll see you again very soon on Prem Chat.